Matthew chapter 25, we'll start in verse 14. Here Jesus Christ is teaching, and quite often he would teach in parables. And a parable is an extended figure of speech. If you want to find out more about that, you can read Bullinger's Figures of Speech. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling in a far country who called his servants and delivered them his goods. And he gave one 5 talents, another 2 talents, and another 1 talent to every man to his ability, to his own ability straightway, and he took his journey." Now, what did he do? He gave according to their ability. He said he realized that, you know, Kelly here has an ability to, he's a really good businessman, he's really good with money, I'm going to give him 5 talents. You know, and then somebody else, you know, well, he's more of a moderate, we're going to give him 2. And then this person over here, we're going to only give him 1 because that guy's not as talented with money and so forth. Now, what did communism say? Communism says,
or socialism.
Socialism, communism. Yeah, communism is a form of socialism. It says, from each according to his ability. What did Jesus do his teaching in his parable? To each according to his ability. And communism will say, to each according to his needs. And so the truth here is you can't be equal. You can't make everybody equal and make everybody free. We live in a society where we're all free, but we're not all equal. Robert, you're a much better school teacher than I am. I'm a much better architect than you are. Fred, you're a lot better machinist than I am. And Dave, you're a lot better with carpentry than I'll ever be. And Kelly, he knows IT a lot better than I ever will. But see, we all have different abilities. So we go out in the market and we find that we exploit that ability. We find employment and we use that ability. And depending on what the market says, we'll get paid according to our ability. In socialism, it's like, we don't give a damn how talented you are. Everybody's going to end up with $100. No matter, even if you're a moron with an IQ of 70, you're still going to end up with $100 in the end. So the guy that's a genius, you know, sitting here with his 150 IQ, well, he's got no motive to go out and do anything. He's going to say, well, I'm going to get my $100 anyway. Why am I going to work hard? You know, an average Joe with his IQ of 100, maybe he's dumb enough to go out and work hard, but sooner or later he's going to figure it out and say, well, you know, why am I working hard? We're all going to get $100 at the finish line. You know, it's like playing Monopoly. We all pass go, collect $200, no matter what piece you are, whether you're the dog or the hat or whatever. And we were playing Monopoly the other day. They have a new one where you have to cheat, and they have rules on how you cheat, and it was crazy. We were playing that at Christmas, and it just got out of hand. But it was kind of funny. So, let's get back to the word here. Verse 16. And the guy that received 5 talents, he went out and traded the same and made 5 more. He invested in a little business of some sort, and he made 5 more. So he turned the 5 into 10. And the same thing, the guy that had 2, he turned the 2 into 4, according to his ability. And then the guy that had 1, he went and digged a hole. I love King James, digged. You know, when's the last time we went out and digged in our garden, Diane? Well, not this time of year, because the ground's frozen. But he digged a hole in the earth and hid the Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. Sounds like Kentucky. I reckon. And so he that received 5 brought the other 5, saying, Lord, you gave me 5, and I turned it into 10. And the Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. He promoted him, gave him a better position. And he that received two did the same thing. And he said that guy was faithful as well. So let's skip down to verse 24. And then he which received one talent came to the Lord and said, I know that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou sowest not, while you have not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I hid the talent in the earth. And what did the guy say? He said, well, you know, everybody's going to get, you know, it's like in nowadays, participate. If your team loses all the games, you still get a trophy. It's the same as if you won the Little League World Series or whatever. Well, didn't work that way in the Bible. The Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to put the money in the changer. You could have just put it in the bank account and earned interest. Would it have been better than hiding it? So he took the talent from him and gave it to the guy with 10 talents. See, this is the word operates the opposite of socialism. It rewards effort, it rewards faithfulness, and it doesn't reward laziness. Whereas socialism rewards laziness. You know, if we got a guarantee, they're talking about, the Democrat Party in our country is talking about a guaranteed income. So even if all you got to do to get paid is just get up, get out of bed, and go check your mailbox, you get paid. That's the minimum amount of effort you got to put forward. So let's go to Nehemiah. And that's why we have a wonderful... Nehemiah is fun to find. It's in the Old Testament. It's one of those little short books right after Ezra. Yeah, you have to flip a few pages to find Nehemiah. I believe it's just before Job. So if you know where Job is, you just backtrack a few pages. And originally, I guess, Ezra and Nehemiah were all one book in the Bible, but then they got split up into two books somehow. And they're companion books. And Ezra talks about when they, well, what happened, I could read this all day. This would be like a several hour teaching. I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest version. Israel got screwed up. They forsook the one true God, like repeating scenario in the Old Testament. And they got carried away into captivity. And they were several miles away, and what happened is then Jerusalem then got sacked, the walls got torn down, the temple got destroyed, and it was just, Jerusalem was in ruins, and was living there was a few vagabond unbelievers, and maybe a few leftover Jews that didn't get carried away, and it was destruction. Nehemiah wanted to, he was serving the king. He would taste the food because people are always trying to kill kings. Go figure. And so Nehemiah had the job, he'd taste food, so make sure it was healthy. If Nehemiah lived, then the king could eat it. And one day the king noticed that Nehemiah was sad. He said, what's wrong? He says, well, my hometown, Jerusalem, it's the walls are broken down and the city's all destroyed, and I'd really like to go back and rebuild it. So the king not only gave him leave, he gave him materials and stuff to do that, make the trip, you know, horses, donkeys, building materials, all this stuff to go and rebuild the city, because they would use the rocks that were there, but they needed wood to make the gates and other things. And so the king let him go back and do all this stuff, and he rebuilt the walls. And they weren't quite up to what the standard of what the walls were before, but they got them to the point where they could protect the city. And basically, all through antiquity, cities in our history we have a history of walled cities. And the Greeks had a word for that, polis, P-O-L-I-S. Like we get the word Minneapolis, Indianapolis, because it was originally as a Wall Street, and you've heard of Wall Street in New York. Well, originally Wall Street is where the wall was that surrounded New York City. And it's since expanded way past where that was. But historically, they put walls around a city. When the Israelites came back from Egypt back in to claim the Promised Land, remember Jericho was there in the way. It was a city of unbelievers, and it was a walled city. And they marched around, and God made the walls fall down. Remember that story? Well, walled cities were very hard to penetrate, and they was a very effective defense for thousands and thousands of years until we came up with artillery. And then in the Middle Ages, they came up with cannons, and they would siege a city. And with cannons, you could knock the walls down in a few days. But walls, you know, I mean, even today, like I have a fence around my backyard, keeps the neighbor's dogs out. And the other side, it keeps the kids, well, their balls still fly over the fence. I have to throw them back every once in a while. But walls are a great protector. And it's that's why it's godly that we build walls and we protect our country. Because if we don't, we'll be overrun and we'll be giving social benefits to all these people that don't belong here. And we won't have a country very long. We'll piss all our money away.
Well, they didn't earn it.
Exactly. So in Nehemiah chapter 2, I'm just going to read two verses here. But if you ever want to read the entire book of Ezra and Nehemiah, they're only about 13 chapters each. It's a pretty easy read, and that gives you the whole story. Verse 18. Then I told them that the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that I had spoken. Remember I told you how the king let him come back to rebuild the thing? Spoken unto me, and they said, let us rise up and build. And so they strengthened their hands for this good work. See, God called building the walls around Jerusalem a good work. The Democrats call building border walls to protect our country immoral. See, we got to the point where godly things are being called evil, and evil things are being called godly. We've got to that point in our country. But if God says to build a wall to protect your country and protect your city is a good work. Well, I was supposed to start in verse 17. That's what I did wrong here. Then I said unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth in waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Let us come and build the wall of Jerusalem, that there be no more reproach. So they were being attacked. They had no wall to protect it. They had no wall to way to keep the enemy out. And like I said before, God said it was a good work that they built that up and protected the city. And I got one more thing. There's a famous quote here, and then I'll make it available for people to continue to comment. The only thing necessary for evil to triumph, is that good men do nothing. So no matter what age you live in, the devil's always trying to pull something. He'll pull, like in World War II, he was pulling one type of evil. In World War I, it was another thing. In the Cold War, it was another thing. And, you know, in the 18th century, it was another thing. He's always got something going. He's always trying to manage something. But there has to be a handful of people that will stand up and have a backbone and will speak against it. And that's where it starts. Because occasionally it has to actually get into a war where people are shooting bullets. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm a little too old to go to war. I don't really want to be shooting and killing, and I don't really ever want to get to that point. But how you stop it before it gets to that point is people have to stand up and speak and say, no, that's not right. Another thing we can do in this country is we can vote. The bottom line, when they try and tell you that Jesus was a socialist, he was actually the opposite of a socialist. And they try and tell us that socialism is compassionate. Well, it's not compassionate. It's theft. When you take money from one person and give it to another person that hasn't earned it, it's theft, and you're rewarding laziness. And so when people compare socialism with biblical compassion, it's a false comparison, and it's an out-and-out lie. It's a very evil thing to do, and we have to stand against that, and we have to speak up and say, and because otherwise, it'll come to pass. You know, like you work in the school system. The school system is being more each year degraded into being a place of higher learning, into a place of an indoctrination, into the left-wing ideology. And things, we have to stand up and speak against that. I remember when I was going to UC Berkeley, and there was stuff they were teaching that was just wrong, and I spoke against it. And they didn't like me very much there. And I lived in a very liberal part of the country, and in California, and I spoke against it, and a lot of people thought I was crazy. But you know what? We have to stand up, and we have to say something. And Heavenly Father, thank you for this country. And Father, protect us from socialism. And especially wake up the young people in this country so they can see that socialism is not good, it's not noble, it's not compassionate, it's not godly, and Jesus was not a socialist. And Father, also protect our borders. Give us a wall and give us protection in the borders so that we don't have people that want to do us harm just walk across the border and walk in like they're welcome. Because we lock our front doors and we lock our cars, we lock our garage doors so that we can protect the people within. And we need borders to protect the people within the United States from those out there that would harm us. And Father, thank you for blessing this food that it can go to the health and nourishment of our body, and we can continue to have fellowship around a meal. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.